Shkoa, thank you very much. Okay, Rebbe will say, thank you for coming this coming Tuesday, Be'ezras Hashem, at regular shiur time at 1 o'clock. Rabbi Ganek will give the last shiur of the semester, which will be talking about some of the issues in industrial shechita. A week from this coming Tuesday is the Bechina, so I advise you to all be studying. Again, it should not be that complicated. It will probably be multiple choice, although there has been a certain move to try to make it a short answer test rather than multiple choice, which I'm still considering. But the Bechina will probably be the same type of format as in the past. There will be questions on the independent learning, which is Yoredeya Simanim Yud Tes and Chav Ches. Go through it. It's some of the basics of Hilchos Shechita. Some of it are things that we discussed with Rav Ben Chaim. Certainly, if you came on the field trip this past week, besides enjoying Rav Ben Chaim and the way he can take apart an animal, you also got some of the basics of Shechita. Some of the dinim that came up on that trip are the types of things that we might ask on the Bechina, just hint, hint, wink, wink. In other words, why was the Shechita that Rav Ben Chaim did somewhat questionable according to Ashkenazim? Right, because there was a bit of a shehiya, no? There are five psalm shechita, so one of the psalm is that you can't delay. It has to be right back and forth. He went back, and then he delayed, and he went forth. At the last time, we actually have it on videotape. So that's why for Ashkenazim, it would be a problem, that shechita, but for Sfaradim, it should be okay. There were also some questions in terms of the Kisui Hadam that was done, or not done. So these are types of things, again, to look into the dinim and then to remember what we did, and that should be very helpful from that trip. I'd like to just continue the chazara of what we had. We went through, last time we met, we went through the first five shiurim of the semester, two shiurim on mezuzah, two shiurim on mikvaos, and then we also spoke about Dr. Lam Shir about Mishkav Zachar Bizman Hazeh. I'd like to talk briefly about the remaining shiurim that we covered, and we're not going to go in order just because this is, I don't know, I'm random, so we're not going in order. So let's talk about Rabbi Reese's shiur regarding Yibum and Chalitza Bizman Hazeh. This shiur, I have to admit, we have never given before in contemporary halacha. We gave it this year precisely because the yeshiva is learning Yevamis, so we wanted to have some discussion of what are the Lamaisa aspects of Yibum and Chalitza. The Lamaisa aspects of Yibum are non-existent, you know? We don't do Yibum anymore. Now, why don't we do Yibum anymore? So there are basically three reasons. The first reason is Yevamis daf lametes. Machlokes Abishol and the Chacham. Abishol says, Hakon yisas yivimto l'shum noy l'shum yofi, right, is ki'ilu pogea be'erva v'karavani be'enai lomar shahavlad mamzer. So according to Abba Shaul, basically mitzvah chalitza is kaidemes l'mitzvah yibum. The Chachamim argue on Abba Shaul. There is a discussion there in Taisus on lamites amibes. Do I paskin like Abba Shaul? Do I paskin like the Chachamim? Do I hold that mitzvah yibum kodemes? That seems to be the psak of Rabbeinu Chanano after he changed his mind. No, if you read the Taisus over there, Taisus says that Rabbeinu Chanano first felt we paskin like Abba Shaul, like Rabbeinu Tam Taka does, like Rashi does, like a good number of Rishonim do, that they paskin like the like Abba Shaul, that Mrs. Chalitza Kodemes, and there's a Gemara in Daf Kuf Tes that says basically that there are three things that there are three things that we seem to paskin like, and one of them is that we follow Abba Shaul in terms of Mitzvah Chalitza Kodemes. That is Ashkenazi Psak Halacha. However, the Sfaradim follow the Psak Halacha of the Chachamim of Abba Shaul, which means that Mitzvah Yibum is Kodemes to Mitzvah Chalitza. They hold that Yibum takes precedence. In one of Chacham Ovadia's Tshuvas, in Chelek Ches of the Yabia Omer in Simen Chof Vav, Chacham Ovadia, he refers to an earlier tshuva wrote in Chelek Vav Simen Yudalid, but basically Chacham Ovadia deals with the Takana of the Rabbanut. In 1950, the Rabbanut made a takana that in Medinas Yisrael, so people should no longer do any gibum. They should only do chalita. And this was signed on by Rav Herzog and by Rav Uziel. Both the Ashkenazic chief rabbi and the Sephardic chief rabbi signed this takana. And Chacham Avadya in his tshuva begins by saying, whoa. Basically, you're signing on that mitzvahs, chalitzas, kodemas to mitzvahs yibum, that's not mainstream halacha. And Kedarko Bakodesh, Chacham Avadya gives you a full paragraph of Rishonim who hold that mitzvahs yibum, kodemas to mitzvahs chalitza, ukipsak maran habet Yosef shekibal mehora otav, right? And therefore, Chacham Avadya says, you can't change, you can't make a takana not to do yibum anymore, because the halacha should follow the rav of the Rishonim that yibum is kodem to chalitza. Chacham Avadya tells a story that when he was in Petach Tikva, a Sephardi couple came in front of him and he advised them to do yibum because they wanted to do yibum to follow the psak of the mechaber. Chacham Avadya then in the tshuva decides to take Rav Uziel apart. He writes, well, first of all, Rav Uziel says that we can't do yibum anymore because if you're going to have kavon l'shum noy l'shum yofi, so that will be an iser d'oraisa pogeh be'erva. So Chacham Avadya goes, Isser Doiraisa, there might be one Rishon holds this Doiraisa, but the overwhelming majority of Rishonim assume that even according to Abba Shaul, the Isser is only Drabbonon. Point one. Then Chacham Avadya says, very interesting part, he says, you know what? He thinks that Rav Uziel only signed on this Heskem because Rav Uziel had this notion of Achdus. The Achdus of Klal Yisrael is so important. Chacham Avadya writes a little essay. He says, you know what? Achdus of Klal Yisrael doesn't mean that we all do the same thing. Right? Achdus of Klal Yisrael means that we all agree to let each other live according to our own minhagim. Right? This is like to use the old federation expression, right? It's unity without uniformity, no? That's what Achdus really is, right? So that's Chacham Avadya's essay over there. And he says, Rav Uziel, he was into trying to be ma'ached everything. Rav Uziel at one point wanted to have Sfaradim and Ashkenazim agree onto one standard of Shechita. That's what he writes there. He quotes a sefer I never heard of, Kerem Tzvi, who says that they tried to have one standard of Shechita, and that's what Rav Uziel wanted. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank got up and says, no, we can't do it. Each Eidah has to keep their own standards. And here also, by the Yibum Nachalitza, we have to keep our own tradition that we do, that Sfaradim do Yibum, not Chalitza. Okay, so let's review. So Ashkenazim do Chalitza instead of Yibum. First basic reason is because of the Psak like Abba Shaul, that we're worried we won't have proper Kavona, and it's Ki'ilu Pogeya Be'erva. Second reason why we do Yibum, why we do no longer do Yibum today, why we do Chalitza instead, is the Maritz Chiyus in his Ha'aris and Yevamis writes that since the Gemara is a comment of Ben Mikol Makom, is going to patter from Yibum, so we're worried that today in our morally lax society, maybe someone is going to have a child, who knows where, and if you have Yibum, your mom is going to be violating an Isser of Arayos, so therefore we don't do Yibum because we're worried that maybe there's a Ben Mikol Makom. That's an interesting Chiddush of the Maritz Chiyus. Then he quoted from the back of the Sefer Chalitza Kehilchasa, an essay by Reb Nosson Gestetner, that Reb Nosson Gestetner writes that he's concerned because there is so much sperm donation, so much Trumas Zera, so maybe there will be a child who's born after the Yavam died from the sperm, and then, even though I had Yibum, right, because there's no child, but Kimtz again, that when there's a child born later on, so Lemafreya, I was born in Erva. It happens that the New York Times, I think, had a, in the Times Magazine, like a month or so ago, wasn't there a thing about that they traced one particular sperm donor who had like 900 children? You saw this? Right? In other words, we do live in a world that sperm donation is very common. The country, by the way, with the most sperm donation.
Israel.
Right now, it's a very serious problem, no? Very, very serious yichus shaila. Like, hello, good morning, no? right? But, okay, it's a real issue. So the fact is, Reb Nosson Geshtetner says that's why we no longer do yibum, because of sperm donation. Now, this halachically is quite questionable, no? Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Mincha Shlomo says, one second, the child is born from sperm donation after. Is that child going to be miyuchas after the father? There's a whole discussion about whether I'm a kind of prut revu with sperm donation, no? With in vitro fertilization, my kind of prut revu. So it's a machloikas, achronim, there. The Beis Shmuel at the beginning of Evan Ezra sounds like you are Mekayim. They bring a raya from Ben Sira that you are Mekayim Peri Revu. The Taz at the beginning of Evan Ezra is Mesupik, right? The Taz thinks that maybe we only say Lahachmir, that's Miyuchas Achra, if we won't say Lahakel, we won't say in terms of the Kima Peri Revu. So, A, there's a shtickle suffix about whether the child who's not coming through intercourse is considered Miyuchas Achra. No Saf al Kach, Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that there's a discussion in the No de Yehuda. You see, we know that there is Gimel Chadoshim of Havchana. Now, after the husband dies, so we do not allow Chalitza to take place within 3 months. Why not? Because we're worried that maybe she's going to be pregnant, and maybe, right, maybe she'll have a child from the husband. Right? And then there will be no need for chalitza and yibum, so therefore we don't do chalitza within the first 3 months. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. We'll talk about this in greater detail in a few moments. So, the Noid B'Yehuda is a shayla. 3 months, right? In the Gemara, means 3 months. That's 90 days. Levad, besides the day of Misa and the day of the chalitza. So that's a total of tzadi beis yom, no? These are Gemaras in the fourth parak of Yevamos. So it's 92 days. That's it. Now, we know that it's possible that Klitas HaZera is going to take place 3 days after. I asked Dr. Chudnov, he's like, he's an OBGYN. I asked him about this Klitas HaZera thing, whether there's been any studies of it. He doesn't think there's anything conclusive about this thing about that could be 3 days. There's nothing conclusive also. The 3 days is also the idea that Chazal have, like, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, that, right, Shavuos is coming up. That Hayu Nachon L'Shloshes Yamim, the 3 days is because of Peilata Shechva Zera, that the Zera, according to Chazal, lasts for 3 days. Dr. Chudnov told me it's unclear if this is correct. Chazal felt that 3 days, that's the cutoff. So Klitas HaZera could be 3 days after the Tashmish Shemitah. So Fekhtanai to be Yehuda, how come we only wait 92 days? Let's wait what? 3 additional days with Klitas HaZera? Right? Answer is that no. That if it's going to be those additional 3 days, then the child will not be, in other words, let's say the couple has B, and then the husband dies right after. There's no Klitas HaZera yet. Right? It could be that it's not going to be Miyuchas after the father. That's the Chiddush of the Noda Behuda. Based on this, Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to say that we should reject this idea. Rav Nosson Geshtetner's idea is really interesting, it's nice, but that l'chora, halachically, it's not correct. That's not a reason to do chalitza rather than yibum. Now, in a situation, are there situations that even Ashkenazim do yibum? So there was a case that's quoted in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav about that the man, the potential cholate, was a kitei aregel. No, he was an amputee. He's missing his leg. So what do you do in that situation? So the Rav consulted with Reb Chaim Heller, and they decided that what they should do is that they should do yibum, even according to Ashkenazim, right? They should do yibum amanas lagarish, no? They should do yibum and then divorce after. Now this yibum amanas garish is very interesting. Why do they have to divorce after? Let them stay married. So Rabbi Reis felt in the shir that maybe the idea is because of Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, that Ashkenazim don't have two wives. There's a whole discussion, by the way, in the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom literature, whether that applies to Makom Yibum, doesn't apply to Makom Yibum. But generally, we are strict on all questions of Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. So it could be that in a situation that you already had one wife, and now this amputee is going to do yibum on the second wife, so that would be a violation of Chayin Rabbi Nugeshem. So that's why they insisted on doing yibum amanas v'garish. Now, one issue that Rabbi Reis didn't address is that this whole story is kind of troubling. Now, am I allowed to make a tnai in the yibum? Huh? Can I make a tnai in the yibum? A yibum amanas v'garish? Right? We'll do yibum now and then you have to divorce after. I don't think it's so pashut that we can make a tnai in the yibum. Again, it requires much more thought. Maybe we'll touch on some of this a little bit later on in terms of tnai v'nisuin issues. Fine. Now, Rabbi Reis then, in his shiur, he went through the chalitza checklist that the Beis Din of America uses. Basically, the couple comes, we have to find out the date that we look at their ksuba to see that they were married. We look at the death certificate to see when he died. We make sure it's 92 days after. We identify the cholate as the brother of the dead person. That's the Gemara also in Daf Lamed Tes in Yevamos, a famous Ishta Mode Inhu, right? That we identify the Achua de Misnahu, that he is, right? That's Eide Hakara. It doesn't require full fledged Eidos, right? Usually we do Ishta Mode Inhu with a driver's license, right? That, okay, matches up in the driver's license. That's Ishta Mode Inhu. That's the Bezin policy. We try to make sure that we want to find out what foot the cholate is he right-footed or left-footed? So the practice of Melech Shechta used to have is that he'd ask someone to kick the table, no? See which foot he kicks the table. One of the guys was upstairs on the sixth floor last week, maybe it's one of you, I forgot who it was, who said that apparently in snowboarding there's a chaluk between being right-footed and left-footed, and the way they find out which foot you are is that they push you and they see which foot you land on. No? So this is an issue. We don't do that. That's not part of the standard Seder Chalitza. We don't push the people, but it's an interesting idea. We go through the entire... He went through the entire Yibam and Chalitza checklist, all of the things that we do. We are concerned about a Chatzitza, no? So because we're worried about a Chatzitza, so she has to have her hand, the Cholitza na aloi me'araglo, she takes the shoe off of his foot, she can't have any chatzitza, on her hand, so she has to remove her rings, right? He can't have a chatzitza on his foot. He has to wash his foot. Just like a woman, before she goes to the mikveh, cuts the toenails, he has to cut his toenails. There's an issue of chatzitza on his foot as well. He showed us the shoe, the chalitza shoe, how it looks, right, with the shinsi, the little, I don't know how to say it in English, the, you know, the strap, well, not the straps, the like the buckles, the hook and buckles, and then there are the ritsuos. Basically, it's supposed to look like tefillin. No, that's what the Achrayim say. It's supposed to be like black on the outside and like regular leather color on the inside. That's what a chalitza shoe looks like. We don't know exactly why the practice is that we make the chalitza shoe black. There's all these dinim about the chalitza shoe that are found in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza. Rabbi Reis himself put on the chalitza shoe. No, he showed that there's a din of tzarech l'mitchaseh l'ragle, that you have to press your foot down. Right, she has to do the entire chalitza herself without him helping, so that's why he's pressing his foot down the entire time. He went through that. We did a chalitza here, no? We did a chalitza in the class just to show the way it works. This issue that we mentioned before, that we wait 3 months before the chalitza is done. What happens if you don't wait 3 months? B'diyeva, if you did chalitza within the 3 months, no? So, the Mechaber in Simen Kuf Samach Dalet Paskins B'diyeva, it works. The Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says it doesn't work. But most Achronim, the Taz over there, and others, they follow the Mechaber, and they say that B'diyeva, it would work. Based on this is a Chuvin Yabia Omer in Chelachas Simin Chavches, where Chacham Ovadia Paskins, in the case that the Cholates was like non-observant Jew who wanted to run away, so Chacham Ovadia paskind that they could do the chalitza within the 3 months. If I'm not mistaken, there's a Tshuva in Igris Moshe where Moshe says something like this. I seem to remember Rav Shechter said this. I tried to look very quickly, but I didn't spend much time looking for this. That the din of Havchanav, the waiting of 3 months, sometimes it's a din d'oraisa, sometimes it's a din d'rabbana. No, there's a din of Havchanav, let's say, after someone was non-Jewish, right? To distinguish between Zera Shenizra B'Kedusha and Zera Shenizra Shelo B'Kedusha, you have to separate for 3 months also, no? So that apparently is a din d'oraisa. The din of Havchana by the Chalitza is both Zera Shel Kedusha, potentially, that's only a din d'rabbana, no? So I think Rav Moshe writes that he feels that you could rely on pregnancy tests when the din of Havchana is only d'rabbanan, not when it, right? In other words, you take a pregnancy test. You see, you're not pregnant, so why am I waiting 3 months for? I seem to remember there was such a Tshuva in Igris Moshe, but again, I didn't look for it very very carefully now. Fine. The next issue that Rabbi Reis was dealing a lot with Yabia Omer's and L'Chayal Echas for some reason. The next issue that he mentioned in the Shir is the Ramah in Kufnun Tes, where the Ramah says like this. The din is that Shomeres Yavam Shezinsa, Tzimachlikas Rav and Shmod Gemar Daf Tzadi Beis, we pass in Shomeres Yavam Shezinsa is Muteres L'Baal. No? That if she had znus when she's a shomeres yavam, she's still muteris to the yavam, right? That's the din. However, the Rama writes that she's asura leboel mishum knas. That after the chalitza, she can't be with the fellow who she was with in the interim. While she was a shomeres yavam, she had a relationship with a person. She's asura leboel mishum knas. There's a discussion about how strict we are on this Isra Labo Mishum Knas in a situation that was like an ones. In other words, a Bezdin Paskind, or a rabbi was Masara Kedushin for her, thinking, right, there's a case in Igris Moshe, for example, right, a case like this, that the rabbi asked, do you have a child? She said, yes. Oh, okay, you have a child, so you don't need Chalitza, right? And it turned out, yeah, Taka, she had a child from her first marriage, but the husband who's now dead didn't have a child, so she still needed Chalitza. So because she was ba'ones, so that's why Rav Moshe was meiko in that situation. Chacham Ovadia and Yabia Omer Chelechasim and Chav Zayin is also meiko on these things. Fine. There's a discussion about after Chalitza, can you get married the next day? Do you have to wait for, can you not have the days of Tavuali Nasei within, before the Chalitza is done? Apparently the Brias community is machmer this and not machmer this in the rest of the world. Then there's the case that we referenced earlier, which is that even though ordinarily we don't make a tnai in Nisuin, but there's one case in Shulchan Aruch where we do. You see, there's a machlokes hagaonim between Rabbi Hudoi Gaon and Rabbi Shrira Gaon about whether if you have a brother who is a meshumid, whether there is going to be a zika to that brother. That's a machlekes in the Gaonim. There was one school of thought among the Gaonim that a meshumar was dino kenachri l'chol davar, no? There's one school of thought in the Gaonim that if a meshumar is mekadosh and isha, so in kedush of kedushin. It's against the Gemara, no? The Gemara says, I'm mekadosh or menas shani rasha, right? If I'm a kasha girl, that even though I'm a rasha, we assume that the kedushin is chal, no? But okay, there is a position, Evan HaEzesim and Memdale, that some Gaonim had a position that a Meshumar is Dino Kenachri L'Chol Davar. Dino Kenachri L'Chol Davar, so what do we do in these situations? There's going to be no Zika. So generally, what the practice that the Ramah has is that this situation, you get married on the Tanai. I get married on the Tanai, then should I die without children, so you will not fall to Yibum. Usually we don't make a Tanai in the Suwa, no? We don't make the tnai in the suin ordinary. We assume that once you're boel, so you're you accepted it, no matter what. But this is the one situation that a tnai in the suin is made. We referenced this earlier. That is a point that Rabbi Reis also mentioned towards the end of his share. Any other questions on this? Yeah.
What's the only kind of meshumet after the marriage?
If he became a meshumet after marriage, then you couldn't do this, right? You couldn't. But then you'd be stuck. Then either you rely on those days that a meshumah you have to get chalitza from. Meshumah probably won't want to do chalitza, no? Yeah. But you can, right, this only makes sense if they made the tnai before the marriage. Yeah, absolutely. Fine. Let's Any quick questions on Chalitza Yibum? Okay, let's move on. Ready? Again, no particular order. Rabbi Ari Center is a kashrus administrator in the Kaf K. He was a Talmud for Yeshiva. He was named after Rabbi Paleyoff. That's why he mentioned his shiur. So he basically gave a shiur about whether you're allowed to buy Starbucks coffee and whether you're allowed to buy liquor that's made in sherry casks. No? That was the shiur. What's the issue at hand? The issue at hand is that l'maisa there is some tarifus or potential tarifus, but it's going to be batel. We have a rule that aim about when Yisrael chatchila. I'm not allowed to deliberately, intentionally go and be mevato nisr. The shail is, when I buy something that's a bottle, is that viewed like a lechatchil or is that viewed like a bidiyeved? That was the way he presented the whole shir, no? Do I assume it's lechatchil? Because, hey, who says I have to buy it? Do I say it's bidiyeved? No, lemaisa, whatever bittle that isr came in already, it was already nullified. So, what's the problem? Right? I'm buying it now, but the Isser was already nullified beforehand. It's already a bidiyeved. So he pointed out, he gave a lot of makoros on this question. He said that there seems to be a stew in the Noda Yehudas on this Nakuda. One should know the Yehudas about coffee, another should know the Yehudas about whiskey, interestingly. He pointed out there's a Radvaz, a Chuv in the Radvaz, but the Radvaz wants to say that's forbidden to buy from a guy. The act of purchasing itself would be considered al chatchila, but the Radvaz notes that he's arguing on the Rashba. The Rashba would say it's permitted. He points out there seems to be a steer in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch on this Nakuda. There's one Ramah by Stam Kehil Meinam B'nei Yoman. Then there's another Ramah about the din of Yerideh Kuvches. What's it called? Recha. About the din of Recha. So there seems to be a steer in the Ramahs about whether it's considered L'chatzchiyah B'diyeved. He was Mefalpel, basically, in the Yeshitas, Mefalpel in the din of... So he had a few, like, tangents that he went off on, like, side topics. I found this year a little bit difficult to follow, I have to admit, because it starts over here, and it seems to be pretty streamlined, and then I ended up in places I had no idea where I was. Okay, whatever. But the Kitzur HaMa'aseh, he left it as an open question whether it's considered l'chatchila or b'diyeved. And then he said, but l'maisa, even if we assume that's b'diyeved and it's not a violation of Eim Vat L'nisra l'chatchila, but maybe it would be permitted for an individual to buy it, but you shouldn't give hashgacha on it. He quoted this from Migus Moshe, from many poskim, that we don't give hashgacha. Hashgacha sounds more like a full-fledged l'chatchila. I can't endorse a product as really being kosher if it's based on these principles of Ein Mevatlin Isra l'chatchila, and I'm assuming that it's considered b'diyeved. That's good. That's not good enough to give hashgacha. L'maisa, in terms of the Starbucks, the OU's policy is that if you're a mashgiach on the road, and the OU's a big fan of drinking coffee when you're mashgiach on the road, because OU mashgiachim like drive hundreds of miles, and like you could fall asleep at the wheel, chas v'shalom. So therefore, the OU says, buy coffee when you're on the road, but if you're in town, it's better to avoid the coffee from Starbucks. Now again, I should point out that we're only talking about those Starbucks that are Starbucks like kiosks, I think that's the official term, no? Where they also make some sandwiches and there's a potential, there's real tariffs there. In the RJJ journal, when was it, 2 years ago, they had an article by Rabbi David Cohen, the son of Rabbi Alfred Cohen, where he presented the CRC's Starbucks guidelines. So that's the issue in Starbucks. He also had a small discussion about... we already mentioned the idea of Stam Keom Eina B'nei Yoman. The question is, does that apply to factories or not? The Meiri and the Ran both assume that Stam Keom Eina B'nei Yoman is only if I go to a guy's house, but some of the item wasn't used in the last 24 hours. In the factory, they're using stuff all the time. I can't say Stam Keom Eina B'nei Yoman. Others disagree. He kind of left that out there hanging. Then he also discussed... La halacha, what's the story of the sherry casks? If you want to see a nice write-up of this, look in Rabbi Blake's article in Volume 5 of Contemporary Halacha Problems called The Whiskey Brew Haha. The issue basically is that Stam Yenam is Batul B'Sheish, it's not Batul B'Shishim, no? That's the din. Shaila is that only that's going to be batul b'sheish in mayim? What about in shar mashkim? So that's a machlekes between the shach and the taz, no? Stam yenam in shar mashkim, is it going to be batul b'sheish or b'sheishim? The taz is mekel. That's batul b'sheish. The shach is... The taz... One second. Right, the taz is mekel, that's going to be batul b'sheish. The shach holds, it has to be batul b'sheishim in shar mashkim. But Moshe Feinstein writes, A, we pass going to make the taz. B, then Moshe has a further chiddush. He says, what's this idea of wine being batul b'sheish? Usually bittul always involves 60. So the answer is like this. Bittul b'sheishim is the pshat that doesn't have tam anymore, no? And that's why in Yeridah we have a principle that a milsa d'avida l'taima, something that really adds a very sharp flavor, a very strong flavor. So even if there's shishim, it's still going to be aser. Because the whole idea of shishim is that there's no tam. Bittul b'sheish is a different part. Bittul b'sheish, the pshat is that it's not wine. You know, like when you buy some of these wines for Pesach, and it's like 2% alcohol, and you want to use that to say there because like drinking 4 cups is like so intense. So you buy 2% alcohol. If you read some of the bottles, it doesn't say it's wine. No, it says wine drink. Why do they do that? Because the law doesn't allow you to call something wine if it has too low of an alcohol content. Halacha similarly would say that it's not wine when it is so far diluted. It loses its shem yayin. So the din of bittul b'sheish is the pshat that it's no longer yayin. If that's the case, so then even if there is tam, says Reb Moshe, you could say it's bittul b'sheish. That's Reb Moshe's kula on the sherry casks, no? He says the Yerei Shamayim shouldn't rely on this. But the fact is, the cool of the sherry casks is because we paskin like the taz. B, the lumdus of the taz is that even if it is no sin tam, it still is going to be bottle. Why? Because the din of bittul b'sheish means das heisnish de'ayin. It's not considered wine. So diluted, it's not wine. So that's why it's going to be mutter. So that's the basic discussion that's the basic amount that I got out from Rabbi Center Shear. Does anyone have stuff that I missed in this year? I don't remember so much from it. No? Okay, let's go on. Rav Schechter gave a shear about Seder HaYerusha, no? Seder HaYerusha are found in the Torah, right? The Torah basically tells you about who's Yorish and the sequence. Some of the dinim are pretty obvious, right? There's a din of pishnayim. A bechor has to get a double portion. Now, a double portion doesn't mean that the bechor gets double everybody else. What it means is, let's say you have 6 children, you divide the Yerusha up into 7 parts, the bechor gets 2 of those 7 parts. That is the din of pishnayim that a bechor gets. One very important din within Yerushas HaBechor, Ki habechol asher yimotzei lo, the Torah says, no? Bechol asher yimotzei lo. So Chazal say, the bechor only is notel pishnayim b'muchzik and not b'ro'i. What does that mean? The bechor only gets from the items that the father had, b'shas misa, not from the stuff that has not yet come to the father. Meaning to say, certainly in the case of Yerusha Avavua De'Aba, the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim. Right? In other words, the father, Rachman al-Islam, dies before the grandfather. So there's a concept in the Gemara of Yoyresh Bekever, right? That the grandson is going to get a chelek in the grandfather's Yerusha through the conduit of his father, who's now dead. So that Yerusha, the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim in. Because that's considered Ro'i, that's not Muchzik. Right? Then, right, so that's one very important din. Then there's a discussion in the Gemara, Machlekes HaTanoim, about whether Halva'a is considered Ro'ay or Muchzik, no? Is a loan considered, right, I'm going to collect money from you, but I don't have it yet. Is that Ro'ay or Muchzik? That's a Machlekes HaTanoim. We paskin that Halva'a is considered Ro'ay, not Muchzik. And therefore, Bechor does not get Pishnayim in money that was lent out to others. Yeah?
What would stocks be?
stocks, would pashtus be also ro'oi? We'll talk about it in a minute, but the pashtus is it should be some sort of ro'oi, yeah. Now, I should point out very quickly, there's another person in Judaism who is not yoyresh b'ro'oi kibbum muchzik, and that is Yerushas Habal. There's a machlikas Rambam and Rabbi, machlikas Hatanoim, whether Yerushas Habal is d'oraisa d'rabbanon, doesn't matter for our purposes, but the fact is that a husband is only yoyresh his wife, right, if it is muchzik, not ro'oi. There is a day of the Rimagash, where the Rimagash says the halva'a is considered muchzik kelape the dinim of Yerushas Habal, but it's not muchzik by the din of Pishnayim. All the Rishonim reject the Rimagash. Right? They say you can't even rely, say Kimli like the Rimagash. The fact is that we assume that the definition of Roya muchzik is the same by Yerushas Habal as it is by a Bukhar. Now, there is a discussion that Shuvah is known to be Yehuda, and between the Shoal and the known to be Yehuda. The Shoal felt that government bonds is considered muchzik. Even though a government bond, technically, I lend money to the government and I'll get money back, no? So it should be ro'i, if halva'a is ro'i. But the answer is, says the Shoal and the Nodri Huda, since you know you'll definitely go back, you'll definitely get the money, because I guess he didn't live in the Eurozone in the year 2012. He says, what are the odds of a government going bankrupt? Right? Inconceivable. A government should go bankrupt. That's what it says in that Shuvah, no? Wow. He never met Greece, Spain, Portugal, Iceland, right? Lots of countries have gone bankrupt in this last year, no? But okay, what can we do? But the fact is that the Noda Yehuda argues on the Shoah. The Noda Yehuda says that no, a bond is still considered ro'ay. It's a regular halva'a. Many Achronim, however, feel, the Aruch HaShulchan feels, that we pass on the Shoah on the Noda Yehuda. That government bonds, because it's so likely you'll get the money, is considered muchzik. Rav Moshe Feinstein extends it to bank accounts. That savings bank, it's SIPC insured, no? Or FIDC insured, right? So these things are also considered muchzik. Therefore, a bechor would get pishnayim in what is in the bank account. Now, Dina de Malchut, in terms of what we have to figure out with the Seder HaYerusha is how we go about doing it, no? The Torah has all these lists. Torah says sons are Yairish, daughters are not Yairish. It was the early Christians who wanted to say that sons and daughters are the same. We reject them. Daughters are not Yairish. In the period of the Rishonim, so they worked very hard on ways that the daughter shouldn't be upset, so they came up with the Shtar Chatzi Zachar. Shtar Chatzi Zachar meant that every female is the equivalent of half a male. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would say that wouldn't work anymore. No, they would still be insulted, right? It's almost like, what was it, the two-thirds compromise in American history, right? It didn't really satisfy people for very long, right? So, lahavdo. But the fact, maybe not, right? But the fact is, the same argument, the reason it's unsatisfactory is because it's unsatisfactory. So, today we need some way for Abbas to be Yoreshes completely, but we can't work through Yerusha, because the Torah says that daughters are not Yorish. Now, one could argue, whoa, one second, Rabbi, why are you so nervous? We have a principle, dina de malchuta dina. No? We have a principle that you follow the law of the land. The law of the land is that girls inherit, so let's follow the law of the land. So the answer is twofold. In Erstins, we don't say dina de malchuta dina when it's between two different Yisraelim, no? The Rashba writes in Choshmish, the Rashba is calling the Beisiyos Choshmish from Simon Chafav, that we don't see Din Machus Adina between two Jews. De Imkein Akarta Kol Toras Yisrael. Those are fighting words. No, if you can say Din Machus between two Jews, you don't have to learn any Choshmish, but, right? You just got rid of everything. Just follow the law of the land. That obviously can't be true. That's one point. The other issue is that the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Nachalos that Yerusha, the Gemara has an expression of Ha'isol Lachem L'chukas Mishpat. Chuka, right? Chuka means that it is not treated. It's treated like Isser V'Heter on a certain level. It's treated like Isser, right? So we can't say Dinud Malchusa on it, because it's a almost like a Yerideya type of halacha, right? No one's going to say din de machusa to each reif. No one's going to say din, right? Because obviously din de machusa is only in monetary areas. This area of Yerusha is considered chuka. Fine. So we have to come up with some way of affecting inheritance lahalacha. So there were Gedolei Yisrael who weren't so nervous about this. Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, you know what, you don't really need a will. Basically, the parent should make clear that his desire is that everyone should be Yoyish equally. And then there's a mitzvah of Kibar Ave'im, and out of Kibar Ave'im, everyone will keep the den. Oh, that's interesting, no? Is that true? I know many families I know have been completely divided over issues of Yerusha. Like, keep it out of aim, they're going to do what the father wants, right? When it comes to money, like, keep it out of aim has very, very, very little sway. Okay, but Rabbi Akiva Eiger's family is probably tighter knit than some of the families we know. Fine, that's one issue. Rev Moshe Feinstein, Epis, has a different mahalach, no? Moshe felt that all secular wills are binding in halacha. Why is it that all secular wills are binding in halacha? So Rav Moshe gives you 9 million marimakimus. Where he says that in halacha there's two issues. There's like a ma'isa kinyan, then there's the das of the kinyan. No. Usually in halacha I do a symbolic act, the ma'isa kinyan, and based on that symbolic act there is a chalos, fine, but there also has to be das. Sometimes when Moshe says it's clear that there is complete thorough gemiris das, and when there's such complete gemiris das, so you don't need any ma'isa kinyan whatsoever. But Moshe wants to say that Yerusha is the same thing. And even if you use a nusach of I bequeath, and technically the word bequeath means it's going to be chal achar misa, but says Rav Moshe, you know what, in this situation, he thinks that since, right, ze yotzev, ze nichnas, the second the father dies, the kids get the money, so there's no in-between time at all, so it's going to be chal right away, not a problem. The chuvos of Dayan Grusnos disagree with Rav Moshe. He agrees with the first yesod, that if I have something that everybody is masking to, you don't need a ma'isa kinyan, that gemiras das is enough. But the second yesod, that it goes directly from the father to the child, he says, whoa. It's directly from the father to those children who the father wants it to go to, those who the father named in the will. Well, Dayan Grusnos says, no, maybe it goes from the father to the halachic entity, and then we're stuck. Because then the children won't get it. So what do we do? How do we do a Yerusha today? So basically what we do is you make a will, a halachic will. A halachic will is not so difficult. A halachic will, that we have like one page in the back of the Rabbi Shechter packet. Basically, I am mechayev myself. I make a hischayvus that I make a hischayvus for more money than I own. And I say, you, Yankel Getzel, some third party, you're going to get all my money, Sha'a Achas with Nemisasi. A second before I die, you're getting, right, not just all my money, more than all the money I have. I am Mechayev myself to give you $9 billion. I'm a Rebbe, there is no way I'm ever going to have $9 billion. Okay? So, given, right, so you get it. But, it says, the money is only yours, Yankel Getzel, if my children do not meet the terms of the will. If my children meet the terms of the will, so then you don't get the money, Sha'achas of Nemisasi. In other words, there's a way you could get your $9 billion, Yankel Getzel. But if Reuven gets 10,000, Sarah gets 9,000, well, Sarah gets 10,000, if they meet these terms, then you don't get your $9 billion. And that should work. Now, there is a problem over here. This is a din d'oraisa, it's a problem of breira. So you have to say that it's chal me'achshav. You have to do it with, that's chal right now, it can't be chal later on, because there also would be an issue of breira. But l'maisa, that's what we do. L'maisa, we make a will. The Gemara had a musig of a will that's not really very relevant for us. The Gemara has a Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Baba Basra about if I say for a ben habanim, I could say one of my sons among all my sons should be Yerush, So that is a machlekes hatanoi, but we pass it, Rabbi Yochanan Bebroka, that helps. However, many Rishonim assume that only helps by a shchiv merah, that only helps when you're near the end of life, so you can't make such a will at age 50. The Sefer Chaim Bebroka Meshmer Shalom and Huchas Avelos, the Sefer that Rav Mortal Gifter used to paskin like in Avelos in general, that Sefer says that everyone should write a will when they are 50 years old. There's a little discussion in Tzava'a whether a father is responsible to make sure the children keep the din of giving the Bechor Pishnayim or not. The Ktsais assumes that you have to based on the din of Yakir. Others assume the truth of the Mate Levi. I think the Mate Levi was the gross Gemeinde rabbi in Frankfurt am Main, no? He had like my job before me, right? He wasn't the rabbi of the Austrian Gemeinde. No one here has any idea what I'm talking about. That's fine. So... it would take too long to explain, we have to finish. But the fact is that the Mate Levi is mekel, the Mate Levi assumes that la frushe me isura, in order to make sure the children don't do an isur, so that's why you, la frushe me isura, so that's why a father's mechuyev to establish a way that the son will get pishnayim, the bechor will get pishnayim. That, at the end of life, people often like to give tzedakah, no? It's a very nice thing. It's a noble thing. The problem is, maybe it's an iser. Because the Gemara says that there's an iser of lavure achsant afilu mibra bishol bra tuva. I'm not supposed to even take Yerusha away from a bad son to a good son. And even the Gemara says a story about one guy who wanted to give off his money to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says, that's forbidden. That's also avure achsanta. The Shaul is, what heter do people have that they give away a lot of money to tzedakah at the end of life? How do we avoid the issue of avurei achsanta? So the answer is that obviously you have to divide up some Yerusha. How much Yerusha you have to divide up? Ktsais HaChoshen says everyone has to get dalad zuzim. Not such a big deal. Rabbi Chil Michal Tukachinskin Gesher Chaim says you have to give your children 51%. You give tzedakah 49%. That's also not followed l'maisa. Most poskim today follow the idea that you have to give a substantial gift to each child. Right? Basher Hu Adam, whatever's considered a substantial gift, that is considered... that's you have to give to the children. As long as the children get a substantial gift, then you give them the rest of money to tzedakah. How is that permitted? Doesn't Gemara say, I'm a vazbez, al yivazbez, yosim mechoymesh, I'm not supposed to give more than a fifth of my money to tzedakah? And I'm saying that you could give away even the vast majority of your money to tzedakah, no? If you're Warren Buffett, so you give each of your kids a significant gift, right? Then you can give, or Bill Gates, whatever, then you can give millions and millions and millions of dollars to tzedakah, right? So, what do you mean? It's yosim mechoymesh? So the answer is... the answer is that the Gemara in Ksuba says that the reason why I shouldn't give more than the Chumash is Dilma Ye'oni V'Yitzterech L'Brius. Maybe I will come poor, right? And I'm going to have to go snoring. I'm going to be dead. So even if I'm poor, I'm not going to go snoring, so that's not a problem. So that is the end of Rav Schechter's shir. I just want to quickly go through some of the points that Rabbi Reis made in his shir about Ribbis. Just like we mentioned in the context of Yerusha, that it has halachic... it's categorized as Isser v'Heter, rather than Dini Mominis. Ribbis, similarly, Reb Baruch Be'er has this, but Ribbis also is Isser v'Heter. My best raya is that Ribbis is found, even though we learn it in the Yadin Yadin Kol Yeshiva, but the fact is that Ribbis is found in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, it's not found in Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. Seems to be governed by the rules of Isser v'Heter, not by the rules of Dine Mamnis. Consequently, I can't make a Tanai, even though by Dine Mamnis we have a rule that any Dover and Dine Mamnis I can make a Tanai, make any Tanai I want in Mamnis, but by Ribbis I can't make a condition not to have Ribbis. Right? Oh, the Isser of Ribbis shouldn't apply. No, you can't do that. It's like, I'm not sure Tash Mitaini Shvius. I can't make a Tanai, right? I can't make a Tanai on Ribbis because it's considered Isser v'Heter. The Gemara has a very important concept. By Ribbis. There's a difference between Ribbis d'oraisa and Ribbis d'rabbanan. No, two basic differences. Ribbis d'oraisa, first of all, let's define terms. What's Ribbis d'oraisa? Zok the Gemara, agar notar. Agar notar means you get extra money for waiting for the money. I lent you $4, I get $5 back. Why did I get $5 back? Agar notar. Because I'm waiting. Ribbis d'oraisa has to have ketzitza. It has to be set up at the beginning. No? Most assume that if it's going to be ribbis mukdemis, ribbis mucheres, that might not be d'oraisa. Right? It has to be ribbis ketzutza. That is going to be the iser d'oraisa. Ribbis d'oraisa, right, is yotze b'dayonim. Avak ribis, ribis drabon is not yotzim b'dayon. In other words, Bezdin does not go and take it away. That's one important chilak. Another important chilak between ribis d'oraisa and ribis d'rabbanon is the Gemara says that ma'ol shel yisomim is mutter lahavosam karov l'schar v'rachayk mehefsed. That basically means that l'tzorech yisomim, you're allowed to do ribis d'rabbanon. L'tzorech tztaka, I'm allowed to do ribis d'rabbanon. That's very important, no? A yeshiva can be involved in ribis d'rabbanon business. Not such a scandal. It's mutter because, right, that's a din. Avak ribis is going to be mutter in these situations. Now, there's a few other dinim of ribis, important dinim. Lo asra Torah el ribis haba'a mi loive la malve. The iser ribis is only if it goes from the loive to the malve, directly. Let's say, for example, I lend you money, right? And then Ephraim, right, decides to give me extra money as a reward because you're a good friend, right? And Ephraim's giving me extra money since I lent you money. No? So I ultimately get more money than I lent. I lent $4 to you. I get back $4 to you and $1 from Ephraim. No? We didn't stipulate this at the beginning. If we would stipulate this at the beginning, Gemara's and Kedushin say this might be Ribis Midin, Arif Midin Eva Kanaini, this could be problematic. We didn't stipulate at the beginning. So that type of Ribis is not going to be an Isser, D'Oraisa, that is like Elsatar, Ribis Habam, Yiloy Velamava. Could be that type of Ribis is going to be Heter Gomer. This comes up all the time with credit card lending, no? The credit card company gives people points, benefits for the use of the credit card. If I lend my credit card to you, the question is if that's like a real halva'ah or not. Let's assume that's a real halva'ah. I'm lending you the credit card, right? L'chaim, I'm getting back extra. I get back the $100 that you put on the credit card, I get back from you. I also get back points on my credit card that I could use to fly somewhere. That l'chaim is heter gomer. That's not ribis habam, yiloy v'lamalva, no? It's only us if it comes from the lova to the malva. That's a very important in the ribis. We assume that if I make a ribis type of arrangement, you're still chayiv to pay the keren. In American law, that might not be true. There is an American law against usury. It might be 16%, it might be 25%. But in American law, if I make a usurious loan, so the entire thing is batal or mavutal. But in Jewish law, that's not true. Ribis is interesting also because we do what is called a heter iska to get around ribis. The Gemara has this concept of iska. Iska is basically a business arrangement. It's chetzi milva, chetzi pikadain. Chetzi milva means that I'm guaranteed I'll get it back from you. That's what a milva means. You'll pay me back. A pikadain, though, is money I could lose. I give you my cell phone to watch, to guard. It could get lost. I give you money to guard. It could get lost. So the pikadon half is not guaranteed. The milva half is guaranteed. In the 1500s, in the 16th century, Sir Meir Avigdor of Krakow came out with the heter iska klali. This is what's basically used, that the arrangement, instead of saying that I'm lending you $1,000, right, and I'm going to get back $1,500, right, that's a good rate, actually. Instead of lending you $1,000 and getting back $1,200, right, you'd be a real iser of ribis. We say, I am giving you $500 as a milva. I'm giving you $500 as a pikadon. Right? Now, you are going to take that money and invest it in the business. Because you're doing work for me, I have to pay you for your work. That is called the schar tircha. If I don't give the schar tircha, there's an iser of ribis. Because then it turns out that I got back more than I gave because I'm also getting back the work that you're doing. So the managing partner has to get paid for the work that he does. We also say that any profits and losses have to be proven by genuine edim. In certain communities, they say only the Rav and the Shamis were acceptable as edim. Other communities say any edim ksherim. Edim ksherim are hard to come across. We say, you know what? You don't want to prove your losses or your profits. You can take a shavua. You could swear a shvur d'oraisa, shvur chamura, about what happened, if you want to prove it. If you don't want to swear, so I'm going to accept what's called the mos of pshara, which means instead of swearing, what you could do is just pay me a little bit of extra money and then I won't accept the shavua from you. Then you'll get off without a shavua. And that's what that extra money, that's how heter iska works. It's a little bit of a complicated arrangement, but heter iskas basically work to solve the problem of ribbis. Halachically, it's really a partnership. American law has determined, a famous article by Stephen Resnikoff, that it's not a complete partnership because it only has a religious intent. That was the issue. In some of the lease arrangements in the yeshiva, there's a real ribbis issue, no? Some of the lease arrangements in the yeshiva is done in the way of a knas hamisrabe, that if I pay back money on, if I pay my rent on time, that's great. If I pay late, 10 days late, I have to pay an extra 5%. And each additional day, it goes up a certain percent. That's a real iser of knas hamisrabe. The Rashba writes, that might even be an iser d'oraisa. We don't fully understand the Rashba, that's an iser d'oraisa. That's what the Rashba writes. Why is it a problem of a knas hamisrabe? Because basically we view it like every little bit of money becomes a second halva'ah, and then I'm getting an additional profit on each halva'ah, so that is going to be a real problem. A one-time knas, we assume, is fine when it's derech mekoch memker. But knas hamisrabe, that we assume is a problem. We should break now to Daven Ma'ariv. All we have left, basically, is Rabbi Willig's shiur about Mechiras Chametz, which is pretty straightforward, and also the shiurim about Kashrus. If there's any questions, we can talk after Ma'ariv. Stay there. Thank you very much. Does anyone know how to... Just push stop. If I push stop, it just stops.